And I now invite you to pray with me and for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, bring conviction to our hearts through your living word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Today we begin a four-week journey into the most well-known psalm in the Bible, Psalm 23. I know that many of you have the psalm in its entirety memorized. I know that some of you have parts of it memorized. I fall into that category. I can rarely get through the whole thing without forgetting something. But I'm pretty much assured all of you are familiar with that psalm. Today we're going to focus in on the first half of the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, shepherd is a term that's essentially foreign to us in our lives. Does anyone here know a shepherd personally? Thought I might get that. We aren't in touch with what being a shepherd means. My own personal experience with shepherding comes from my family growing up. Had four siblings, and we were always all over the place, but my dad had a very distinct whistle. He could whistle. Wherever we were, we could hear it, and we would turn and look. I remember the graduation at Penn State. Thousands upon thousands, and my dad's trying to find us. All he had to do was whistle, and we knew where he was. Of course, most of the time, my mom, whose head snapped at the same time ours did, would mumble something to the effect of, "It makes me feel like a dog." But we knew his voice. We knew his call. And that relates directly to our gospel reading, where Jesus said, "The sheep will know the shepherd's voice." We knew our Father's call. And I've got my own whistle, and my kids, when they hear that, they respond accordingly. But we don't know much about shepherds. Today, as we're going to take a look at the Lord as our shepherd, we're going to discuss three things. First, biblical shepherds. Secondly, the characteristics of a shepherd. And finally, the characteristics of the sheep. So I want to begin with a little Bible trivia to get a better understanding of how this image of shepherd would have been understood by those living in biblical times. So who's the first shepherd noted in the Bible? Anyone? I'm hearing names, but I haven't heard the name I'm looking for. Did somebody say Abel? Okay, somebody did say Abel. That's right. It was Adam's youngest child, the fourth person mentioned in Genesis. Genesis 4, verse 2 says, "Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a worker of the ground." So that's the first shepherd. Now, who was the next significant shepherd mentioned after Abel? And I didn't hear her name. It was Rachel, Jacob's wife. So you think of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham had many flocks and herds, but he wasn't noted to be a shepherd. Isaac was noted in Genesis 26 to have sowed in the land, to have farmed, and he also owned herds, but he wasn't noted to be a shepherd. Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Now, Jacob's most remembered as a mama's boy who lived in the tents and who stole his brother's birthright with a bowl of really good soup. Well, he was sent to his uncle's house, to his uncle's land, to find a wife. And when he arrived in that land, out came Rachel, and Genesis 29 notes, she was a shepherdess leading the sheep out to the watering hole. And it was from that point that then Jacob becomes a shepherd. He falls in love and says, "I will work for your daughter." And through a little trickery, he ends up working for Rachel and her sister Leah to pay the dowry, but he works many years as a very successful shepherd for Laban. Now, we're at Jacob. How many sons did Jacob have through his two wives and their friends? 12, that's right, the 12 nations of Israel. It's noted they were all shepherds. So Genesis 37, it says Joseph was 17 and he was out in the fields minding the flocks with shepherding the flocks with his brothers. And Genesis 37 also talks about his dreams, and a lot of that happened out in the fields with the flocks. So we've got Abel, Rachel, Jacob, Joseph, and all of his siblings. Who was the next significant shepherd in the Hebrew tradition? Anyone? David. Not David, Moses. There we go. Moses. So Joseph, while he was living in Pharaoh's palace, as he was the one that saved the whole land from famine, he brought his siblings and all of God's people, the 12 tribes, into Egypt so that they would endure and live through the famine. But then he died, Pharaoh forgot, and the Israelites were enslaved. So then came Moses, but he wasn't initially a shepherd. He was rescued and then lived in Pharaoh's household himself for 40 years. But it was after he went out to connect with his own people, he murdered a man, and he had to flee to Midian, where he met his wife, Zipporah, and he became a shepherd under his father-in-law. For 40 years, he was a shepherd until God called to him through the burning bush. So this would bring us to the most famous of the shepherds. I've heard his name a number of times this morning, and that would be King David. David's the best-known shepherd from the Hebrew Scriptures. David, who was out with the flocks shepherding when the prophet Samuel came to his family to have the next successor to King Saul identified. And as all of his brothers appeared before Samuel, he said, "Surely this one." But God said, "No, I look at the heart, not at the outward appearance." It was the shepherd, David, who was to be the next king. This is David, the shepherd boy who killed the giant Goliath, the same way he would protect the flocks, with a stone and his sling. David, a man after God's own heart, David, the great Hebrew king. So we've got Abel, Rachel, Jacob, Joseph, and all of his brothers, Moses, King David. Due to those revered ancestors, shepherding was a highly exalted, highly valued role in Jewish tradition because of those connections. So that's a biblical understanding of shepherding. It's a hallowed tradition. And a footnote in my Jewish study Bible was this: the shepherd who tends the flock is the one suited to tend the people. The shepherd who tends the flock is the one suited to tend the people. And that applies to two of the aforementioned shepherds that we just talked about. Moses, he was in the royal household. He was a leader, although no Hebrews would follow him until he was humbled, until he served as a shepherd for 40 years. Only a shepherd who tends the flock is the one suited to tend the people. Only then was Moses qualified to shepherd God's people out of Egypt during the Exodus. Then David, the shepherd who tends the flock is the one suited to tend the people. He was chosen over his brothers, the shepherd. Shepherding shaped his leadership skills, prepared him to be a king like no other. So from David, I fast forward a couple generations to the story of the birth of the Messiah from King David's line. Who were the first Jews to meet this newborn Messiah? Shepherds, that's right. And shepherd was also a term applied to the Lord many times in the Old Testament. And we heard that this morning in our reading from Isaiah chapter 40. "Behold, the Lord God comes with might," verse 10. And then verse 11. "He, the Lord, will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom." Ultimately, that passage was fulfilled by Jesus, who declared himself to be the good shepherd. He said, "I am the good shepherd," in John 10. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, there's much more we could discuss here, but I want to turn from a biblical understanding of shepherds to the character of the shepherd to better understand what this ancient role involved. So the characteristics of a shepherd, first, they're always with the sheep. 24/7, 365. The sheep knew the shepherd. And so the sheep followed the shepherd. They were always with them. So go back to the shepherds who were in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel said, go and see this thing. So they went to meet the Messiah. And guess what? The sheep would have gone with them. You know, we picture just the shepherds going, but they wouldn't have left the sheep unprotected in the field. All of the shepherds would have gone. You know, can you imagine? Well, you guys stay with the flocks. We're going to see the Messiah. No, they all went. So can you imagine these flocks of sheep gathered at the place where the good shepherd was born? 24/7, 365, always with the sheep. They protected the sheep from predators. They protected the sheep from being lost. They protected the sheep from being trapped or getting stuck in cliffs or in thickets or in pits. Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3 state three roles of the shepherd. He shall feed the sheep in green pastures. He shall lead the sheep beside the waters of comfort. And verse 3, he shall bring the sheep forth in the paths of righteousness. Feeding, leading, and bringing, which leads to the imagery of provision and guidance and redemption. He feeds me, he leads me, he brings me forth in paths of righteousness. He redeems me. This is a humble trade. And it's a humble title for Jesus to claim. He was the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the Master. And those carry a different feel, one of authority or majesty, high and lifted up, intimidating. But a shepherd is one who's with you, rain or shine, good or bad, in your best days, in your worst days, responsible to provide all that you need, feeding, leading, and redeeming, but only if the sheep stay with him. So we turn now from the characteristics of the shepherd to the characteristics of the sheep. Sheep are relational animals. They're meant to be in a flock. Biblically, whenever you encounter a sheep that's isolated, it's noted to be lost. They're lost if they're on their own. They're intended to be together in a flock under the shepherd. Sheep are good at following. They aren't so good at choosing priorities or choosing direction. Under the shepherd, sheep are not anxious. They're not worried. They're eating and wandering under the shepherd's watchful eye. They have peace. No concerns. They're protected, fed, watered. They have all they need. They have peace. And the sheep need a shepherd. They're no good on their own. They need a shepherd that they can first trust and then a shepherd that they can follow. So this comes to you. It's important for you to understand that in this biblical example, you are sheep. Think of that. I think that's pretty clear. Humans in relationship to the Lord were all sheep. Some have been found. Some are with the shepherd. Others remain lost. They're on their own. They need a shepherd. So I invite you to reflect just for a moment. What kind of sheep are you? Are you lost with the shepherd? Or lost apart from the shepherd, or are you found with the shepherd, following the shepherd? Are your eyes and ears focused on the Lord as your shepherd? Are you looking to him, listening for him? Are you in your life following his direction, or are you following your own direction or someone else's direction, maybe the world's direction? Do you live as if he is always with you Or do you check in with him occasionally, but mostly you're doing your own thing? He's somewhere in the car, but I got the wheel. Do you live as if he's always with you? In this season of coronavirus, we have all experienced a range of emotions: detachment, isolation, loss, anxiety, fear, even anger. All on some level, we've experienced these and other emotions. And we're all, therefore, in need of reconnection. Reconnection both with the shepherd and, if we're following Jesus, reconnection with the flock. Wherever you are, even if you're not ready to go out, you're in need of being connected with your flock, your body of Christ. Our devotional study is entitled, When the Lord is Our Shepherd. We mailed these out this past week, so if you didn't get one, we'll give you details at the announcements how to get one, but you all should have one. We've got some extras so you could take one with you. When the Lord is your shepherd. When the Lord is your shepherd, you will live and look different from the lost sheep. Now, that's not a promise that you're not going to have struggles. It's not a promise for prosperity or favor or health. But it is a promise that when thirst or fear or tragedy or really long walks with no end in sight where you don't know where you're going, times when, is the shepherd going to say anything? What you are promised is that he is always with you through it all, the good and the bad. When you walk with him, when you trust in him, he's always ready to hear your lament or your fear or your anger or your guilt or your repentance. And he's always ready to guide you in his paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When you walk with him and trust him, you will be able to not be afraid, no matter what happens, because you know he is with you. Why live in fear when the good shepherd is right here? I don't understand, but I can trust. And as you follow him, other lost sheep may just notice you're different. They may notice the way you're living. They may notice the one that you're following. And they may just turn to see who it is that you're following. By your life, the lost sheep may find Jesus, their shepherd. Today, we begin a journey together to better understand life as sheep in the Lord's flock, living with the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as our shepherd, as your shepherd. I encourage you to set time aside each day to read Psalm 23. Read it every day, not that long. Read it slowly, deliberately. And then engage with the devotional material. There's a devotion for each day of the week, Monday through Saturday. We'll start with day one tomorrow through Saturday, and then you'll have the next sermon, and then we'll do day seven. So Monday through Saturday, 6 days. Day seven will be the following Monday. Engage with this devotion. And I pray that the Lord will work in every one of your hearts, bringing conviction and repentance where it's needed, bringing healing and restoration where it's desired, transforming us together into his sheep and his flock, all for the glory of his great name. Amen.